and just count you one by one as blessings. I'm grateful for all of you and your prayers and your encouragement that we've experienced and enjoyed from you since having been in Bethlehem Church. This morning, I'd like to read from the third chapter of Romans, beginning in the 10th verse. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And then skipping on down to the 23rd verse, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. One of the grand old doctrines of grace, one of the grand old doctrines that has been best I can read and understand from listening to all you, an old doctrine that has been preached among primitive Baptist people since the days of John the Baptist, is the doctrine of the total depravity of man. That doctrine is a doctrine that tells us how worthless, how bad, how useless, how depraved we are as human beings. Nowhere else in this world would there be, I believe, people who could enjoy being told how sorry they are, how worthless they are, and how useless they are if they were completely in the flesh. When we're in the flesh, we don't want to be told that kind of stuff. We want to be told how good and how valuable, how full of worth we are, and things along those lines. But yet, when a bunch of children of God will assemble themselves together for public worship, and a preacher will preach to the people, the Lord bless him to preach, on the subject of the total depravity of man, old saints of God will rejoice in it. And there is real reason to rejoice in that doctrine. Now, we know it's so. The text that I read just now makes it real clear that there is no good in us, that all of the descendants of Adam are born into sin. We are sinners and great sinners by our very nature. There's nothing good in us. We know it to be the truth, and because God's Word says it's true, and we believe it. Many of us have also had experiences in our lives that has taught us the same thing.
Amen,
I heard one of the radio preachers the other day talking about the total depravity of man, and he's not even quite there yet in his full understanding of the total depravity of man. But he said he thought a lot of that doctrine when he was in the services. He was overseas in the Marine Corps and in wartime with a bunch of men who had been trained to fight and who were just mean in their way of doing things. He said he was around meanness, and he saw all the things that went on with that group of people there in that particular situation, and began to see a little bit about the total depravity of man. Others of us have lived in situations where there is ungodliness abounding. Not only have we seen what those around us would do if they could just thought they could get away with it, or even sometimes that they'd take a risk to do most anything in the world that come along. Also, many of us have had experiences that have taught us that we ourselves are so depraved that we would do most anything in the world that could come along. Depravity is not something that we can look to somebody else and point a finger at. All of us individually must realize that we are a part of mankind that is depraved.
Amen.
All, and that includes me and you here, all have sinned and shrunk and come short of the glory of God. It sounds like a serious and solemn doctrine, but yet there's something to rejoice in. Because you see, unless we ever understand the total depravity of man, then the other parts of the doctrines of grace will never be complete. They'll never fall into place for us. Without understanding total depravity, unconditional election would mean nothing to us. Without understanding how depraved we are as individuals, then we would always question how God picked out some and not others in His election. You see, total depravity is essential for us to understand and believe election. Total depravity and having an understanding of that is necessary for us ever grasping the doctrine of the limited atonement. It is essential for us to ever grasp the doctrine of irresistible grace. And it's certainly essential for us to understand and begin to grasp the eternal security of God's children. It is essential, an essential doctrine that we must hold on to, the doctrine of the total depravity of man. But understanding this doctrine not only helps us grow in doctrine, but there is a great practical application. Not only one, but many practical applications. When we start getting in our hearts the notion and the understanding of the doctrine of the total depravity, I believe that lives will begin to change in response to us really understanding just how depraved we are as individuals. Well, one thing it teaches us is some things about dealing with other people. We know ourselves to be depraved and believe everybody else is. For example, an individual that wanted to fall out with somebody else, he can always find something to fall out with him about because of that notion and that doctrine that we're all depraved. If you make up in your mind, or if I make up in my mind, that I want to get something against somebody, a preacher or anybody else, if I want to find something wrong, if I want to find something that he's done wrong or where he's fallen short so I can just fall out with him or talk bad about him or put him down, I guarantee you, because of the doctrine of the total depravity, if you look long enough, then you will find it. So that should teach us that we ought not to busy ourselves looking for little things that's wrong with somebody else, because surely we'll find that. Well, another practical application of the doctrine of the total depravity is church discipline. You know, if we get to where we can realize that we are totally depraved individuals, that we are capable of sinning, that we are sinners by our very nature. Now, let me be sure that we have it straight that when a child of God is born again, they're given a new nature. They're given a nature that gives them the ability by God's grace to do some good then, to manifest fruits of the Spirit. But yet we still have that old sinner inside us, that fleshly nature, that nature that is full of sin is still there with us. Well, I heard somebody say about church discipline the other day, somebody in another order that tries to practice some discipline, said a committee was coming to see him from the church. And he said that he told them that he didn't have any business coming out there, that what he did was his business. It was none of the church's business what he did. Well, we all like to be a little independent from time to time, but God's Word sanctions church discipline. Amen. If we're going to be in the gospel church, if we're going to be an old Baptist, then we need to get it in our minds that a lot of what we do is the business of the church. Now, there are some things that in many ways aren't the business of the church. If I choose to drive a blue pickup truck and somebody else chooses to drive a red one, I suppose that's not a lot of the business of the church. But whether or not, if I decide to buy that pickup truck and do everything in the world I can to beat somebody out of the payments and not pay for it, then that becomes the business of the church. We are, and not only is it the business of the church for the purpose of strengthening the church and keeping the Lord's church the pillar and the ground of of the truth and keeping the Lord's church in order as it ought to be, we stand in need of some things being the business of the church. We need the church, the discipline of the church, to help us to stay as best we can on the straight and narrow. If we ever can really and truly understand the doctrine of the total depravity, then I think we'll all be better prepared to accept church discipline and understand and believe in the authority of the church to practice discipline. Now, another place that the total depravity doctrine has a very practical application is in our open-heartedness, our dealings, our forgiveness, our understanding of others around us. There are some sufferings that people go through that are judgments of the Almighty God. I believe that there are diseases that we have on the face of this earth now that are sent. They are the judgments of God on our immorality. Amen. On immorality of people that some belong to the Lord and probably some don't. But a judgment there that came from God because of immoral living that is going on in this country and in this world today. Some of the most hideous ones, I think, have to do with sexual immorality. And there we see evidence of God's judgment, I believe. But yet, I'm convinced, to pity people that are under that judgment. You know, I heard somebody talking about a case the other day that they pitied the family members of one who was suffering from a disease that was one of these that would mention and are thinking of this morning. But yet there seemed to be no evidence of pity or concern or caring for the one that had the disease. But I'm convinced that if we back up and understand total depravity, that we could see that a little differently. We could see a little pity and love and compassion for that individual. Because you see, we're all sinners. Amen. We may not have committed those particular sins that God is judging. We may not have committed those sins. And we ought to be thankful to God if we never have. But at the same time, all of us, my brothers and sisters, are sinners. We are sinners by our very nature. We deserve nothing better than the fires of hell. We deserve nothing on our own doings better than an eternal punishment and banishment from God. We deserve God's judgment, even here in this in time, because of our sinful nature and because of our sinful practices. But yet, if we start to see the total depravity, then I think we can pity those that have clearly come under God's judgment a little bit, and maybe be stirred up to pray for them and show a little love for them rather than constant judgment coming from us on their part. Well, another practical application of the doctrine of the total depravity I thought of just as we were singing that song, Count Your Many Blessings. One of the popular television evangelists wrote a book, and he called it Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. Well, I saw an old Baptist preacher write a response to that in one of our newspapers. And his question was, well, why do good things happen to bad people? And that's the real question. You know, we don't have to sit around and wonder why bad things are happening to us, because we deserve better if you understand a little something about total depravity. We don't deserve better than what we got, brothers and sisters. We have a lot to be thankful for, and it's all by the grace of God that we have anything at all. Right. The Lord has been good to us. We don't deserve it. We just need to wonder why such good things are happening to something like us. Amen. Something that's such a sinner, born a sinner, and even now, as like the Apostle Paul expressed, when we try to do better, try to do what we would do that was right, we still back up and we fall short. Amen. And yet, good things continue to happen to us. The Lord God of the universe has blessed us with a place to live where we have plenty to eat. We have warm places to go, and we have our families to love. We have the church. We have the truth. We have the doctrine of salvation by grace that can be replaced by no other philosophy to touch and to warm the heart of a child of God like the doctrines of salvation by grace. We have so much to be thankful for that we ought to try as best we can to quit all our little pity parties where we're sitting around thinking how it ought to be a lot better for us. Because I guarantee you that it's better for us like it is right now than what we deserve.
Amen.
You know, you can look around, though, and see, I think every one of us could find people that's in a worse fix. You know, there are people who live right around here in Bullock County who really don't have warm places to stay in this cold weather. And they don't have adequate food to eat. But I think most of us that are here this morning have those things. Just by looking around, we can see how we ought to be thankful. But then when we just look at ourselves and see how little we deserve or how we deserve nothing, and then count our blessings of all those things that God has given to us, then I believe we can rejoice in the God of grace, and we ought to be able to rejoice in that doctrine that some call hard, that doctrine of the total depravity of man, and put our trust in God and our hope in what God has done for us and what He is doing for us, and not put any hope in ourselves, but put it all in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I appreciate your kind attention this morning. Hope the Lord will bless you.
Amen. Enjoyed that, Brother Sam.